It's not a coincidence at this time of year, I think, that Chanukah and the long Matzoi Shabbosim, which for yeshiva boys, hopefully is a time for sports. I'd like to talk tonight about Chanukah and the athlete's challenge. My connection to sports is something that is very, very deep. I would even use the word neshama. It's very deep in my neshama. I don't remember all 792 players, but once upon a time, I knew every single one of the 792 cards in the Topps 1987 set. And my brother and I cried together. And Kevin Costner, oh, Baruch Hashem, I forgot the name of the movie. I just remembered, Field of Dreams. Kevin Costner's movie at the end of Field of Dreams when he plays catch with his father. And there's a part of me that really believes that there's baseball in heaven. You know, they say that there was two friends who loved playing together. And they were getting old. They followed sports together. And one of them said to the other, you know, whoever dies first, you know, you got to come back to me in a dream and tell me if there's really baseball in heaven. So Jack died, and he came to Tom in his dream. And he said, Tom, I have good news and bad news. He said, good news is there really is baseball in heaven. The bad news is you're pitching tomorrow night. There is a tremendous challenge. I think the challenge of the athlete falls in second place to the challenge of all in. Once upon a time, I thought that the challenge of the athlete was the biggest challenge for Yeshiva Bachur today. Rav Aryeh agreed with me last week that the biggest challenge is all in, but this is a close second. This is a close second. Because many things that are part of the culture of sports are antithetical. And I'm not going to talk about the hero worship. I'm not going to talk about the bittul zman. I want to get to really the omek hadvarim. And that this is despite the fact that there's baseball in heaven. I want to ask three questions about Chanukah. Meiri v'Rabbi, Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, points out that when it comes to the menorah that the Chashmonaim lit for the miracle was a menorah that was made out of wood. Why is it, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, why was it that the Chashmonaim didn't look for something more ornate? It was available. Question number one. Question number two, when it comes to Chanukah, is something very interesting. It's the only Jewish holiday where we don't encourage people to rest from malacha. Purim, there's a minug of an Isra Asiyas Malacha. In fact, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah says a person should work, go through the regular schedule of their day. The only discussion is when the Neros are lit. But otherwise, it's a regular day. There was an opinion in the Gemara that there was a full Isra Malacha on Purim. Rosh Chodesh even has a minug of an Isra Malacha. Chanukah doesn't have that at all. Finally, Rav Tversky Shlita quoted from his Zayda, the Ma'ari Naim, an amazing, amazing phenomenon. In general, when it comes to the Shechina, oh, you're learning the Sugyas in Sukkah. How far does the Shechina go? Ten Tvachim. The Aron, therefore the Gemara has a Cheshbon, that the Gemara says that it's ten Tvachim high. Yet, when it comes to the menorah, what's the halacha? The halacha is, when it comes to the menorah, you're supposed to light. Many people in America don't realize it, because most people light by their window. But Mirtzeh Hashem, many of you are going to light by a door. I'm not getting involved, I'm telling you where to light, don't worry. So, where you light, when you put it next to a door, it's supposed to be within 10 tefachim from the ground. So Rav Tversky Shlita asks, that's the opposite of what the Gemara in Sukkah told us. That the Chanukah menorah should be above 10 tefachim. That's where the Shechina is. And we put it specifically in the area which is not the area of the Shechina. Rav Neiman Zal Shlita answered the first question, why the menorah was a modern menorah. And this is the yesod that Rav Tversky's Zayda that Mari Naim developed as well, is that when it comes to Chanukah, Chanukah is a Yom Tov that's entirely about Pnimius. It reaches into the inner recesses of a soul. Ki ner mitzvah the Torah are. The ner is also a ner neshama. And Chanukah is entirely an expression of the Jewish soul without any chitzonius, without any external expression of Avodas Hashem. Hence, you go through your regular day in Chanukah, there's no Isser Malacha, except when the Ner Neshama is lit. And that's why the menorah is lit specifically within Ten Tefachim, because it's supposed to light up the areas that people don't associate with Ruchnis. Rabosai, this is a very powerful challenge today. Rabbi Wallerstein, 2 or 3 years ago at the Aguda convention, got up. He had a tremendous audacity. And he got up and he said, in front of all the Rabbanim in America, he said, I've spoken to hundreds, if not thousands, of young men and women. And I asked them, why are they Shomer Torah Mitzvos? And not a single one of them told me, it's because I love Torah and Mitzvos. Not a single one. And he turned to the Rabbanim at the dais, and he said, on our watch, on your watch, we are experiencing a generation that's perfect on the outside. That was a few years ago. That's perfect on some level on the outside, and there's so much that's missing on the inside. It's a generation that Viktor Frankl describes in Man's Search for Meaning as being antithetical of what true happiness in life is all about. Let me give you a little bit of background of Viktor Frankl's book. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor, a secular Jew who probably wrote one of the most important Musar books in the modern era. What Frankl describes is that happiness and meaning is entirely removed from a person's circumstance in life. He wrote, everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, that is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose meaning in life. In a world where the emphasis is about chitzon, Frankl writes about this years before so many of today's challenges exist. He writes, today's society is characterized by achievement orientation, and consequently it adores people who are successful. And therefore, you'll sit, and I've experienced this, and speak with Talmidim who are fantastic young men who are doing all the things that they're supposed to do, but at the end of the day, they'll say, Rebbe, I'm empty inside. And that emptiness comes from a phenomenon where Avodas Hashem is missing this key bechina, the bechina of Chanukah. Chanukah is celebrating that the chitzonius is stripped away, and what's left is kiner Hashem nishmas Adam. So many Talmidim are in places that are cold. On a lighter note, there was once a sailor who had a parrot. But unfortunately, the parrot had been hanging around sailors who cursed. So he told the parrot, next time you curse, I'm going to have to punish you. So the parrot kept on cursing. He said, next time, I'm going to really, really punish you. He cursed. He put him in the freezer. The parrot comes out after 10 seconds. He says, Burr, I'm cold. Says, I won't do it again, but just tell me one thing. Tell me what the chicken did. The bechina of coldness could go even further than being inside the freezer for 10 seconds. And this is what I'm referring to about the athlete's challenge. The athlete grows up in a world. He grows up in a world where he's surrounded by one thing and one thing only. And that is whether he won the game. Everything depends on that bechina of success. And that's the world of Yavan. Not only the world of Yavan in terms of the focus on Averos, the focus on hero worship. Yavan is even deeper than that. Yavan is the bechina where the essence is about whether one won the game. And in Yadus, the opposite is so. And it's not a coincidence that the Yavanim, what they try to uproot, are these three particular things. Mila, where we say that the goof is not everything. Rosh Chodesh, where we say is that there's something above and beyond the physical world. A boy's bar mitzvah is going to be dependent on the neshama of Torah. And finally, Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh at its deepest core, or one of its deepest cores, is the essence of surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We glorify, not victory in the physical sense, we glorify surrender to Kudsha Brichu, the recognition that the source of all of our koach comes from Kudsha Brichu, and we surrender that koach. And we say at the end of the day, all of our physical creativity comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Surrender is the greatest victory. That means that a mindset above and beyond all the issues of the Averos and the Shilas and the hero worship, a mindset where a person is no longer trying to achieve, but a person is surrendering to Kudsha Baruch Hu, that is the most elevated bechina of Avodas Hashem. It's a totally different look. It's a totally different worldview. Let's talk practically. What does that mean in practical terms? You put an athlete in front of a Mar Mekomos, a guy after Motzei Shabbos who was driven to win the game, to perform the best that he could. He comes into the Beis Medrash, he's determined. I'm not talking about lazy guys. I'm talking about someone who's determined. He wants to work. So what's his goal? So if he's just starting out and he doesn't know how to learn, so his first goal is to rush through the Mar Mekomos and come back to his Rebbe and say he's finished. And if he's in the Grus Kolon, been learning for 3 or 4 years, his goal is what? His goal is to get the best mark on the Bechina. His goal is to master. But that is not the essence of what Talmud Torah is all about. The role is not to finish, is not to make a siyum, for sure to make siyumim. The role is v'harevna. The birchas haTorah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the words are sweet. And that means if the words are sweet, every single word of Rashi is a baby. It needs to be treated with absolute delicacy, so delicate. Every word of Torah is so delicate. It's not something that we rush through. It's not something that we just simply achieve. There's a sweetness, there's a beauty. There's a pnimius. I always tell the fellows in the call, I don't know if I said it this year, it can't be that someone goes through smicha at any moment and every single thing that he's learning is for a test. The moment that happens, it's no better than the Shana Aleph guy who's rushing through the Mar Mekomos just to be able to tell his Rebbe that he's finished. Surrender to the words of Torah. That's the difference between Yavan and Kedushas Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us Siyata Deshmaya. The clash between the two cultures is a subtle one. There are some things that are obvious, but actually the deeper ones are the ones that are more profound. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to be able to take the good from Yavan, You know, the gematria of Antiochus is Yosef. What does that mean? Bnei Yisachar writes this. The answer, says the Bnei Yisachar, is there are things from the secular culture of Greek that we can take. Yafifusa shel yefes ba'olei shem. And the push and desire of achievement is something that one can take into the Beis Medrash. But it requires a recognition that the starting points are entirely different places. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to be kadosh shem shemayim. To be able to take the sweetness of Torah, the varevna of Torah, and then in that way to truly achieve in Torah.
Good Shabbos.